This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the 10-Minute MBA. I'm your host, Scott D. Clary. On the 10-Minute MBA, I give you tools, tactics, strategies, and insights that you can use to start, scale, grow, and 10x your business. Let's get into it. All right, this episode is for anyone that has been in the entrepreneurship game for a bit. You are past the point where you've made your first dollar, and you're trying to scale, and you're tired of the startup hustle porn and all the super cringe-worthy LinkedIn bro posts. You've got a scrappy little business. You could even have a small team, maybe have some people outsourced, but you are itching for real growth without selling your soul to some VC with zero understanding of your niche. So guess what? Sustainable scaling on a lean budget is absolutely possible. It's not glamorous, but it is a path to building a company you can be really, really proud of and own entirely. So I want to go into this podcast as a kind of level up guide to bootstrapped growth, because I want to go beyond the lean startup basics, because most advice for cash-strapped founders hinges on validating ideas and getting by with duct tape and prayers. So you've mastered that state. You've learned about MVP, minimum viable product. You've applied the lean startup methodology. Now it's about evolving that scrappy mindset into deliberate strategic thinking. So at this stage, the biggest issue you have after you've made a dollar is that you probably have a million quote unquote good ideas. Great ones, those are rare, but you have a lot of good ideas. So you have to figure out how to nurture those good ideas and turn them into great ideas. And this is where ruthless prioritization comes in. You have to learn to say no relentlessly, protecting your limited resources, so time and energy and money, for initiatives that truly move the needle big time. Data is going to be your compass at this stage. Intuition is valuable, but it's subjective. So you want to get comfortable with basic analytics, A/B testing, whatever helps measure what actually works, not what you hope works. And you have to realize that the minimum viable mindset applies forever. So do not let features bloat your product or service. Always be asking yourself, what is the core thing providing value to customers, and double down on that, and then iterate ruthlessly from there. So here's a few ideas for the vast majority of the quote unquote somewhat established entrepreneurs. Pricing. Stop undercharging. Experiment with raising prices on a small segment or adding value-packed premium tiers. Extra revenue equals way more growth fuel. And more often than not, because we're human and when we start stuff, we very rarely think that we're worth that much. We usually undercharge versus overcharge. Most entrepreneurs end up undercharging for their products or services. It's a combination of psychology and imposter syndrome and newness in the market. And it's a whole bunch of stuff. But the point is, when you're starting out, you usually gravitate towards not charging enough. A good rule of thumb is, if everybody's saying yes to your offer, you're not charging enough. If you increase the price and you knew that 100 people were buying from you last week, and this week 50% of people are buying from you and 50% of people are saying no, so now you've hit probably a sweet spot and you want to iterate from there. And then you want to forecast out, okay, so I have 50% less sales, but I'm charging X percentage more. Does that make sense for my business? Maybe dial it back a little bit. But that's a really good benchmark to aim for. And again, you're not doing this with your entire business. You're doing this with a small cohort of customers, if possible. However you can test it out. If you can't test it out so easily and you don't want to jeopardize your whole business, then creep the price up and then continuously be forecasting out, if you keep this price and you adjust for the slight decrease in customers, then does it make fiscal sense? And always be iterating and testing. Price is a huge lever that not enough people play with in business. The second thing you should be doing if you are somewhat established, and if you haven't done this from the get-go, it's your bad, but that's fine. You want to master the art of niche domination. So instead of trying to please everyone, become the authority for a specific sub-segment of your market. So deeply understanding customers allows for hyper-targeted offerings they can't find elsewhere. I bring this up because more often than not, when entrepreneurs start out, they are jack of all trades because they're trying to make a dollar and keep the lights on. And that is, first of all, a horrible way to build a business. You will have ceilings as to how much you can scale a jack of all trades kind of business. And honestly, you'll burn out because you'll be taking all these wrong customers. So for example, it would be much better if you are very good at creating one very particular kind of TikTok content as an agency and you are known for that and you study that and you live it and you breathe it than being a full service marketing agency. Because full serving marketing agencies, trust me, I've used a lot of them suck. And as somebody who hires agencies, I always look for a specialist just because I've had more success. The percentage of success I've had hiring agencies is skewed higher if they're specialized versus if they're generalized. And that's a business lesson for you. There's a reason why I have success with specialized agencies. It's because they know what they do better than anyone else. And if you say, Scott, I don't want to use an agency forever, I get it. A good strategy to use is to use an agency that specializes for a period of time. Make sure that the results are there. You're actually getting the results that you want from the agency. Then learn their process and incorporate their process back into your business. And lastly, you have to focus on operational efficiency. It is not sexy, but it is crucial. So can you automate or streamline internal processes? AI, automation, tech, whatever it is, SOPs, a few hours saved per week across your team compounds massively over time. So you invest in the right tools. If you don't want to create operations and processes for everything immediately, because there could be a lot of stuff you do, just once a week, codify a process, write it down, document it somewhere for one thing that you do. And over time, you will have a little book full of all your processes that will basically allow you to eventually remove yourself from the business. Very important in the future for growth, for scaling, for potential exit. Just a note on being bootstrapped versus being funded. It's not a sin to consider small amounts of funding to accelerate certain aspects of growth. But if you do not look at pricing, niche domination, or building SOPs and focusing on systematizing your business with operations, money will not solve problems. You need a clear plan on how that money fuels the engine, not just keeps the lights on. You need to pour fuel on a fire. You're not going to pour fuel on logs that have not been lit yet, right? It's not going to do anything. So you actually have to have something that's working so that it can actually leverage that capital to grow. Now, a few other ideas for an existing business that's looking to scale. I want you to think about extracting hidden profit. So a lot of entrepreneurs always focus on acquiring new customers. It's important, but guess what? What is the most expensive customer to acquire? It's a new customer. What's the cheapest customer to acquire? It's an existing customer. There is a gold mine hidden within your existing customer base. It's just waiting to be tapped into. A lot of businesses don't look there. So you want to do a deep dive on your loyal customers. Who are your regulars? Who are your super fans? Have you interviewed them to truly understand their pain points, desires, and the exact language they use? There might be higher value offerings practically begging to be created for them. Also, you can use the language they use as to why they bought from you to improve your marketing messaging, which in turn will help you acquire new customers as well as keep old. You want to rethink customer support as a profit center. So exceptional support isn't just about keeping folks happy. It's a chance to spot unmet needs. Train your team to subtly identify upsell opportunities while providing incredible service. And then you also want to resurrect dead leads. For some reason, after you've written off a lead, you never go back and check it again. Every 6 months, every year, people who showed interest but never bought, don't trash them. Nurture them with a dedicated email sequence, a freebie, a targeted discount. Some percentage will convert. Trust me, you will never have 0% conversion. And you can re-engage them in a year or 2 years from now. And lastly, if you have existing customers, don't let them leave you. This is a big issue in recurring revenue products.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Think software or subscriptions. It's called churn. If you have a leaky bucket, it's really hard to build a business. So find out why those customers are leaving you and plug those holes. It could be customer experience. It could be they find a better option somewhere else and they don't feel loyal to your brand. Whatever it is, it could be they're looking for a certain feature set that you don't offer yet that they found somewhere else. Doesn't matter. You have to find a way to reduce churn, reduce customers from leaving you, or again, increase them from buying you over and over again or upselling them or whatever. But the point is, there's a lot of hidden profit in businesses that a lot of people just forget about. Because at the end of the day, sometimes the key to unlocking growth really isn't reinventing the wheel. It's closely examining the wheel you already have. Now, say you have a business that is running and you want to scale it by potentially adding other revenue streams. So a lot of people, if they're trying to scale and they're trying to scale lean, they're going to think about adding products or services, which can be an expensive and time-consuming way to scale. However, there are other ways to unlock additional revenue streams. So just a couple ideas, food for thought. You can package up your knowledge. So if you have deep expertise, you can turn it into premium webinars, courses, exclusive insider memberships. This is high-margin revenue once the assets are created. You can build strategic partnership. So instead of basic affiliate deals, can you truly joint venture with a complementary business for a unique offering to both audiences? The 1+1=3 effect is very potent. And then you can license your IP as well. So if you have a killer process, if you have a custom built tool or a well-designed template, might there be a way to license those to other businesses in similar but not directly competing sectors? So the key is to think laterally about the assets you already have, and it might even spark a brand new business line. Too many bootstrap founders operate in a scarcity mindset. There's not enough, but that's all they think about. There's not enough. I gotta go raise more money. But you have to switch to an abundance mindset. There is opportunity everywhere. You just need to be a little bit more creative. This shift opens up surprising avenues for revenue. I also want you to start focusing on your team as a growth multiplier. When you're bootstrapping, your team is likely small but mighty. Sadly, most entrepreneurs underutilize the brilliance that is sitting right in front of their noses. To fix this, as a CEO, as a founder, you have to stop being the bottleneck. If every decision runs through you, that is a ceiling for your company's growth. So you want to ruthlessly document processes, delegate, and train your team to make smart judgment calls, even with small amounts of money at stake. You want to start investing in upskilling. So could a slightly higher hourly rate for a freelancer translate into massive time and headache savings for you? Absolutely. Think of training your existing team as an investment, never a cost. And also, you have to think, I want to give my team autonomy. People blossom when you trust them to own a piece of the business. Encourage experimentation with sensible boundaries. Reward initiative. Do not micromanage the details. And then you can compound this by incentivizing. So adding a small bonus structure tied to growth targets that motivates your team way more than a minor hourly increase. Experiment. See what actually gets them excited. You want to implement simple systems to start sharing knowledge. So a shared doc, short Loom videos to capture how things are done. This is insurance against a key person leaving. Plus it fosters a culture of collective improvement and shared knowledge. And lastly, try the mini CEO experiment. Can you hand over a small chunk of your business to somebody, give them a budget and targets? Because at the end of the day, success breeds success, and it may actually reveal a superstar in your organization who is hyper competent, and when they are given the opportunity, rise and exceed expectations. Remember, the magic of a bootstrap team is that everyone sees the direct impact of their work. This is massive because at the end of the day, nobody wants to show up to a business and suck. Everybody wants to be part of something great. When something is moving along, when it's growing, people get excited. That encourages, it motivates, it excites people. Don't let that potential go to waste. And one thing that I'm actually a big fan of that could be controversial is radical transparency. So when you are bootstrapping, it is easy to hide the scary numbers. But with the right team, sharing financials, even simplified ones, breeds trust. It sparks smarter decisions from everyone because they understand the mind of the owner. Listen, you have to start with this in mind from when you first start hiring so people understand what's going on in the company. And they don't think they're joining a $10 million company that only has $50,000 left in the bank. That's not great. But adopt a culture of vulnerability from the get-go. It will unleash your team's full problem-solving capabilities if they feel like they are on board with you on this journey. Because if they already know where you're at when they're hired, they're operating with a fully transparent understanding of how the business is running, and they're going to make smarter decisions. Obviously, if they think one thing and then when they join the business, it's another thing, that's not going to be great. And it's also not great if they think one thing and they continue to think one thing and they spend like it's that one thing, but it's something very different. Like, for example, if they think the business is doing $20 million and they act like the business is doing $20 million and they're taking out clients for $1,000 dinners, that's not smart when you only have $20,000 left in the bank. So the point is, obviously, a radical example, but a little bit of transparency really doesn't hurt. And just one last thought on systems, because I spoke to them briefly earlier about building out SOPs, but I really want to double down on how important it is to create systems for sustainable growth. So documenting processes sounds about as fun as filing your taxes, maybe even a little bit less, but ignoring this will lead to a special kind of hell later on. Fires to put out, reinventing the wheel constantly in that sinking feeling that you're hanging on by a thread. So systems are not about suffocating creativity. In a business, they are creating a foundation your business can reliably scale upon. I mentioned earlier about taking one day a week and systematizing something. Here's a few other ideas to help you manage this systems process. Start with the crucial and the boring stuff. So customer onboarding, billing, how you track basic metrics, even if it's a simple Google Sheet template, get it documented. This protects you when team members inevitably move on. Make process improvement an ongoing thing. So block out dedicated time, even 30 minutes a week, and ask, how can this be done better, faster, less error prone? Small tweaks compound over time. And tools are always going to be your friend if chosen wisely. So don't fall into the shiny software trap. Solve a specific, well-defined problem with a tool, not the other way around. So don't just get tools to get tools. You want to get tools that solve problems that you actually have. So to understand what problems you actually have, you have to actually build out processes. Zapier, Airtable, simple CRMs can be superpowers and lifesavers for bootstrapping entrepreneurs. And also, just a couple other thoughts about building systems and processes. Your brain is not a reliable filing cabinet. So that one-off genius solution you came up with at 2 a.m., useless if it's only in your head. Learn to externalize your thinking. Good enough also beats perfect, especially at first. So don't spend weeks agonizing over the most elaborate process ever. Start simple, iterate as you learn from real world use cases, and delegate documentation as you go. So train yourself to capture how it's done while the task is fresh, and assign this to team members for things they own. It saves tons of time in the long run. Bootstrap founders are used to being in the weeds. To scale, you've got to learn to think differently and to slowly climb above them, focusing on the big picture while ensuring the machine you built run smoothly. It's not a comfortable transition, but once you see the freedom and the reliability that different thinking and systems bring to your business, you'll never want to go back to the chaos. And as a quick CTA, because this will make a huge difference, this week, pick one recurring process in your business. It could be as simple as how client proposals get created. Break it down step by step. You've just started to systematize your growth. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed. I hope you got some value out of that. Make sure you come back tomorrow for another business lesson on the 10-Minute NBA.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.